inside. Nothing too major, I hope. But we need to put in for repair, and Alderaan was the closest world. Naturally, I knew I must pay my respects to the Queen and her Viceroy as soon as possible. You're very welcome here, Bale said.
Even after working with her father for 2 years in politics, Alea had never before seen him lie so smoothly. Tarkin took the measure of the terrace. His mind was even sharper than his gaze, which meant he no doubt recognized all of them instantly.
I appear to have interrupted something.
The knowledge froze Leia faster than carbonite. He knows. Her mother had to realize it too, but her smile never wavered.
A simple dinner party, Governor. You are, of course, invited to join us.
Of course she'd invited Tarkin. What else could she do? But Leia still felt herself newly wrenched by horror when Tarkin said,
How very gracious of you, Queen Brea. I accept.
Everyone else on the terrace was beginning to adjust, mustering smiles and nods. But Leia felt sure they all wanted to faint and or scream just as badly as she did. But one new realization gave her the strength to hang on. Tarkin didn't know. He suspected, which was bad enough. But if he'd been absolutely sure what her parents were up to, he would have arrived flanked by stormtroopers, and a Star Destroyer would be hanging over the city of Aldera. Tonight he intended to take the measure of the gathering, to evaluate whether his suspicions were correct. If her mother and father and their friends betrayed even one hint of fear, Grand Moff Tarkin would pounce on it. The banquet had become a piece of grand theater in which the lives of every other guest were on the line. Brea spotted Leia and brightened.
It's bad luck to seat an odd number for dinner. Our daughter will join us. Your first official banquet, Bale said to her, and gave his daughter a look in which only she would see the apology. The first ever?
Tarkin seemed pleased.
Well, well. What an honor to be present.
Usually the heir doesn't get to attend banquets until after her investiture, Leia said as she walked closer and offered her hand. His fingers were cold.
So I owe the honor to you, Governor.
Apparently, she could lie just as well as her parents. Even before the recent wave of banquets, Queen Brea of Alderaan had been famed as a hostess. Leia had never understood exactly what went into that, besides throwing many parties, serving food and drink on a lavish scale, and gracefully greeting everyone who attended. On the night of her first banquet, however, Leia understood her mother's true skill, very nearly an art. Brea steered the conversation to Eriadu, to the redesign of military uniforms, and other topics with which Tarkin was known to be especially familiar. Naturally, he dominated the conversation, which both flattered him and cut down on the amount of play-acting for the other guests. She had arranged the seating so Tarkin was on her right hand, honoring him above all other guests, and also keeping him close so she could personally manage him. And she kept everyone talking, which was critical, because every silence that fell was charged, nearly excruciating. The Queen's most brilliant move, however, came when the wine was served. Tarkin and a handful of the other guests received true Tanneray, but all of the Organas, Mon Mothma, and most others had wine one shade too pale. The difference in color was too slight for any off-worlder to notice, but Leia recognized it instantly. This was a sibling wine to Tanneray, one far less strong, more juice than intoxicant. She'd been served this until her day of demand, after which she'd finally graduated to the real thing. So the Organas stayed sharp, while Tarkin's edges were slightly dulled. Not much. Leia noted how little of the wine he drank. He was far too cautious a man to become inebriated among potential enemies. But on a night like this, her family needed every advantage they could claim.
We're so fortunate here on Alderaan, Brea said as the servitor droids cleared away plates to prepare for dessert. Our realm is clearly defined. It must be much more difficult, balancing the needs of so many worlds and sectors,
even military divisions.
It's not work for the faint of heart.
Tarkin offered no details. Although he'd relaxed slightly through the course of the dinner, his hawk-like gaze remained focused.
Though, of course, many planets have similarly complex concerns. Wouldn't you agree, Senator Mulp?
Cinderin Mulp paused, napkin in his hands. It was all Leia could do not to wince.
Of course, we have our own challenges in our system, and in the Senate.
The stammer made Leia want to cringe. Was he about to ruin everything? This moment? Tarkin leaned forward.
What would you say you find most difficult?
Mulp had to swallow hard. Leia imagined she could hear the stormtroopers' boots on the floors already.
We have to divide our time between two places, of course, needing to spend time on Coruscant.
I'll say, Brea muttered. Bail set his glass down too heavily on the table, with a thump audible throughout the room.
Don't do this here. Do what?
Brea took another drink of her wine, a little too swiftly, a little too much. If the beverage had in fact been alcoholic, it would have been the gesture of someone who hoped to get drunk.
Start in on this.
Bail's glance around the room revealed more embarrassment than Leia had ever seen from him before. Or at least it was meant to. Her mother shrugged, exaggerating the gesture like an intoxicated person might.
Oh, I'm the one who started it. Me, here at home, while my husband finds every excuse he can to run off to Coruscant, or...
She put one hand to her throat, as if physically holding in the words.
Out with it!
Mon Mothma interjected. She flung her napkin down on the table, glaring at Brea with anger Leia had never seen in her before.
I've had it with your suspicions and your insinuations. Go on, Brea. Grow a spine. Say the words.
Brea put both hands on the table and spoke with exaggerated sweetness.
My husband enjoys running off to Chandrila, and I'm sure you could tell us why.
It felt like a slap. Even though Leia knew this was an act, at least figured it was almost certainly an act, she'd never once imagined either of her parents being unfaithful to the other. The idea of her father and Mon Mothma made her want to cry. But she understood why someone might believe it.
This is what I live with,
Bail gestured toward his wife.
Endless paranoia, a grasping, insecure wife who imagines betrayals every time I fail to send a message within a few hours. It's like living on a leash.
Imagines?
Imagines?
Brea rose from her chair, eyes blazing.
Did I imagine the girl from Corellia last year?
Bail winced, and Pamlo turned her head, raising one hand as if to block herself from witnessing any more of the scene. Leia struggled for composure, until she wondered why she was doing such a thing. For once, the best move was the most honest move. She released the terrible tension inside by bursting into sobs.
This is inappropriate,
Tarkin said, his voice sharp enough to puncture steel.
Look at what you've done to the child.
Leia kept weeping, head down and hot tears streaming down her face, even as she realized that her breakdown had convinced Tarkin this whole terrible scenario was real, or at least that the fight between her parents was real. He probably hadn't been persuaded that everyone in the room was innocent. Leia doubted they'd get that lucky. But he no longer believed himself to have infiltrated a meeting of conspirators, only a drunken dinner party that had just turned disastrous.
Forgive us, Governor Tarkin.
Her father rose from his chair and bowed his head, even as her mother slumped back down again and lowered her head and arms upon the table.
An excess of wine is something you should avoid in future.
Tarkin rose to his feet, drawing himself in like a great cat pulling back its claws.
This disgraceful display would not be tolerated were this an official visit. As I invited myself here, I suppose I have only myself to blame for expecting anything better from members of the Elder Houses. I bid you good day.
With that, he stalked out. No one said a word until the old-fashioned doors slammed shut, and for an instant after that, during which the room seemed to have no air. Then everyone simultaneously deflated. Her father collapsed into his chair, as the others slumped backward or rested their heads in their hands. Bria reached across the table to grasp Leia's wrist. Sweetheart, none of that was real.
I know that,
Leia said, wiping at her face. The sobbing was easier to turn on than off.
That was acting?
Cinderin Mulp began to laugh, an almost broken sound.
You're better at it than I am.
Mon Mothma's face relaxed into a smile. Good work, Leia. You convinced Tarkin when none of us could. She had done something for their rebellion at last. Something important and useful. And instead of feeling triumphant, she only wanted to be sick.
Wait.
Senator Panmo's face was drawn as she turned from Bria to Bail, and back again.
You told your daughter about all of this? Your teenaged daughter?
They didn't tell me,
Leia insisted.
I figured it out on my own.
A few groans from around the room told her she'd just made the situation worse. Bail cut in.
We did explain the truth behind some of what Leia was seeing. She's surrounded by this, living in the heart of it. Her discovering some portion of the truth was inevitable.
But you've brought her into our work, protested Vespar. A mere child.
It was Mon Mothma who said,
Leia Organa is not a child.
Her voice carried through the room, commanding the kind of attention that would halt a more crowded gathering than this one. She slowly stood.
Leia has had her day of demand. She's growing into an adult, a representative of the next generation. And make no mistake, they're the generation who will bear the brunt of what's to come. They're the ones who'll do most of the fighting, and most of the dying. They're the ones who will do most of the rebuilding afterward, if we are so fortunate as to see an after. We need the young with us. Without them, this war is lost before it's begun.
Leia's heart stirred at the thought of Mon Mothma's faith in her, with her need to rise to that challenge. Yet she couldn't entirely banish the dread of what was to come. Chapter 25. Pamarth had a reputation as a fierce, dangerous world. But so far as Leia could tell, that had more to do with the people than the terrain. The island chains could be difficult to travel between on water, and even on land for those who were afraid of heights. But Leia wasn't, and fortunately neither was her teammate, someone who was very comfortable floating around in midair, in more than one sense.
The stars are so clear here,
Amelin said as they crossed one of the long rope bridges that connected the islands of Pamarth.
No light pollution. Hardly any clouds.
At least not tonight. Leia had heard tales of the storms on Pamarth. Once the pathfinding class had caught on to the real moral of the class, Chief Panji had lessened the difficulty levels considerably. It turned out that learning to find your way around wasn't that hard when you weren't fighting desperately to stay alive. She'd pulled Amelin as a teammate for this round. After she'd gotten over her disappointment at again not being matched with Kier, she'd realized this was for the best. Amelin Holdo might be bizarre, but she was also interested in the astrology of various systems, which made her uncannily skilled at navigating by starlight.
Let me see.
Amelin stopped and held her hands up to the sky, touching her fingers together in an odd pattern that made her squint her eyes, consider and nod. The tiny glowing pins in her multicolored hair blended in with the night sky above.
All right. Two more islands to the left, and I think we're nearly there.
More rope bridges. Leia sighed, and they kept going. Their current bridge swayed and bounced beneath their feet as they went. Far beneath, she could hear the roar of the ocean, waves breaking against the rocks that jutted up from the wide oceanic spaces between islands. Maybe it would be worth getting wet, to feel the strength of one of those storms, Leia thought. She imagined dark clouds rolling in across churning gray water. Maybe someday she could come back here with a friend. A Kier, even. She caught herself. The future had become a tenuous thing for her. Never before had she understood how often she reveled in the simplest expectations for the rest of her life. Serving in the Senate, spending more time with the people she cared about, eventually becoming queen, even maybe having a child at some point many years away. None of that could be guaranteed any longer. Best not to plan ahead. The next Pamarthans Island they reached was one of the larger ones, which meant it served as a busy spaceport. Pamarth had a reputation for producing fine pilots, and its trade thrived as a result. People would detour systems out of their way to pick up crew or a hauler there. It was almost bizarre to suddenly walk into a bustle of people and activity on a pathfinding trip, to hear them shouting out passengers and destinations. But it was the fastest way to reach the next wilderness. The chief said at least 80 bridges anchor on this island. Try as she might, Leia couldn't remember the precise layout. She was getting better at memorizing visual information quickly, but not that good. If we take the wrong one, we're going to wind up on the wrong island, which might or might not connect to our goal point. So, hey, still with me? Amelin stared off to the side in what Leia first assumed was one of her usual trips into mental hyperspace. When she followed Amelin's gaze, though, she realized what had drawn her friend's attention. A group of Gamorreans, grunting and shoving, herding shivering humans onto a transport. With the humans packed together so tightly, it was difficult to see the binders on their wrists. Slavers. The thought alone could turn Leia's stomach. Watching it happen was harder. What did her discomfort matter compared to what the poor slaves were enduring and had yet to endure? She forced herself to watch the entire time. Bear witness, she thought. That's all you can do for them now, so do it. Mon Mothma's words about the histories to come sustained her, but barely. A lump had formed in her throat long before the boarding ramp was pulled up, and the ship lumbered into the air. Only when it had vanished from sight did she turn back to her companion. Amelin's cheeks shone with tears.
Like they're in a Duraplast bubble, she said.
Which made no sense to Leia until Amelin continued.
We can see through like there's nothing between us. We can even push against the surface until it bends in. But we can never push through. We never touch them.
Leia nodded. Yeah, just like that.
We never had slavery on Gadalenta.
Amelin began walking in the vague direction of their goal, and Leia fell in beside her. But they were both in a kind of nauseated daze. The pathfinding games didn't matter much any longer.
Not ever. And our Council of Mothers doesn't allow slaves to be brought to our planet at all. If they are brought there, and their master is caught, the slave is declared free.
That's a good rule. Although Alderaan also banned slavery, Leia didn't know whether they had a law that would free slaves brought to their world. How could she not know that? She'd bring it up with her parents as soon as she got back. If she could do nothing else for the suffering people she'd just seen, she could at least free others in their name. They trudged on in uneasy silence for a few paces, hearing the shouts and cries around them.
Oars from Marani to Ryosa! Need a hauler! Passengers for Pantora!
Without ever taking them in. Then one of the announcements caught her attention.
Senatorial charter to Chandrila!
Amelin perked up too.
Do you think that's Harp?
Why would she charter a flight to Chandrila in the middle of a pathfinding trip?
She could have been injured. Or maybe there was a family emergency.
I guess so. It seemed more likely that either Chief Panji or the local medics would handle any injury. However, a family emergency was plausible. More so than finding either Wimney Lenz or Mon Mothma on this random island on a random planet. We should check on her, just in case. Together they moved toward the voice they'd heard announcing the charter, weaving their way through the passengers, pilots, and cargo droids that crowded the spaceport. Although they were surrounded on all sides by ships and tarmac, Leia could still hear the rush and roar of the ocean nearby, reminding her how small this little sliver of civilization was. They reached the clearing, and she saw the passengers for the charter ship. Instantly, she stopped walking and put her hand out to grab Amelin's arm and tug her around the side of a cargo container, large enough to conceal both of them.
Isn't that Wimney Lenz?
Amelin tilted her head that way and this, like a marsh crane spotting food.
That's Harp's sponsor. Would he have come to pick her up?
Leia shook her head. It wasn't Lenz's presence that unnerved her. As unlikely as his presence here might be, any number of reasons could explain it. But Winmi Lenz was talking with an Imperial official, one in a white uniform jacket. Not many senior Imperials wore white jackets. Those were reserved for ISB officers, a handful of more obscure ranks that held similar levels of authority and power, and even Grand Admirals. White jackets were said to inspire respect. Really, they instilled fear. Leia's heart thumped faster at the sight of this man, whoever he was. Far worse than the white jacket was the fact that the unknown Imperial officer was talking easily with Winmi Lenz, as though they were friends. That doesn't mean anything. Mom and Dad made nice with Grand Moff Tarkin not so long ago. Still, Leia couldn't shake her uneasiness. Stay out of sight, she told Emmeline. I want to find out if I can overhear what they're saying. Only after she'd said it did she realize she had absolutely no good explanation for what she was doing. Luckily, her companion was the person least likely to require one.
What about over there?
Emmeline pointed to a fuel crawler parked close to the charter ship, definitely close enough for Leia to eavesdrop. Swiftly, she fell into step behind a group of Powans, whose tall stature and long, flowing robes provided good cover. Once she'd reached the fuel crawler, she ducked behind it, then realized Emmeline was right behind her.
I told you not to come with me, she whispered.
Emmeline frowned.
No, you didn't.
Choose your words more carefully next time, Leia reminded herself. But Winmi Lenz was speaking again, and she focused entirely on him.
Pleasure is entirely mine, Director.
Lenz smiled at this mysterious director as easily as he'd smiled for everyone at the last banquet.
Petty regulations mustn't be allowed to stand in the way of necessary construction. You're a sensible man, Lenz. Are you sure you're from Chandrilla?
The director's smile didn't reach his eyes.
What luck! You having so much Quadanium at hand.
Lenz's gaze no longer met the director's.
Sometimes the fates align us with what we need most.
As their conversation shifted into farewell pleasantries, Emmeline straightened and took on an unfamiliarly serious expression.
Why would the Empire be buying cut-rate Quadanium from a senator? Why wouldn't they just take it from a planet that's on penalty?
Leia put that together fast. It could be a few reasons. Most likely some project is experiencing budget overages that the director doesn't want to take to his superiors. Especially since the superiors of officers in white jackets were exclusively those at the topmost levels of the Empire. Not the kind of people you wanted to disappoint.
Is this illegal?
Emmeline clasped her hands together as though in delight.
Did we find crime?
I don't know. Some sales like that are illegal, but some aren't. Maybe the director asked Lenz to keep the deal secret for his own reasons. Regardless, Leia realized, Winmi Lenz's behavior was troubling. At the very least, the man had a strong relationship with a senior Imperial official, one he was actively assisting in some major building project. He'd specifically denied having any substantive Imperial contacts in the past. That was a lie. And if he was lying to her parents and Mon Mothma about this, what else might he be lying about? Worse, what might he be telling the truth about? Panic seized Leia as it hit her that Lenz might already have informed on her parents. No, he can't have. If he had, we'd already be in prison, or dead. But he knows everything about my parents' plans, everything Mon Mothma is trying to put together. He has their trust, but he's lying to them. That means he could turn at any minute.
Cloud-colored, Emmeline said.
What? Leia sounded snappish and didn't care. This wasn't the time for any of Emmeline's wandering metaphors.
You've gone so pale, you're cloud-colored.
Emmeline clasped Leia's upper arm, as though she thought Leia would faint at any moment. Cargo shipments and travelers kept hurrying past them, reminding Leia of the mudslide on Chandrilla, tumbling over and over in the muck, without any way to right herself.
What's wrong? Why is it so bad that Lenz is selling the materials?
Telling her the entire truth was impossible. Leia managed. He's being deceptive. Chandrila always stands up to Palpatine in the Senate, but privately? Lenz is good buddies with a high-ranking Imperial official.
It's like the cream side of the muffin.
Leia refused to ask. She just stared at Emmeline, wondering when the tide of weirdness would ever run dry.
They say that when you drop the muffin, it always lands cream side down,
Emmeline said, repeating the old saying like it was some profound discovery.
So I always wondered, what if you covered the muffin with cream completely and then dropped it? There wouldn't be a side left to point upward, so the muffin would never fall. It would remain in the air, skyfaring without scarves.
Enough of the ridiculous. Leia opened her mouth to utter the angry thoughts in her head, before understanding came rushing in. Wait. You mean Lenz is playing both sides? He wants to curry favor with the Empire and the ones who oppose it, so that if Palpatine does ever fall from power, he could still benefit.
Senator Lenz is the muffin in the analogy, Emmeline said. Just to be clear.
I got that part. Leia's mind was racing, considering all the possibilities. Winmi Lenz wouldn't expose her parents, Mon Mothma, and their allies for no reason. He wasn't a risk. Yet. But the first time they faced real danger, the immediate threat of exposure, Lenz might well turn informant to save his own skin. It would be the smartest move. An assistant was speaking with Lenz now, talking over the Quadanium shipments. Probably they should seize the opportunity presented by his distraction to get away. It was difficult to remember that they were still on a pathfinding trip. Before she'd turned, though, she heard the assistant say something that pricked at her ears and made the noise of the spaceport seem very far away. Did he say Okahunt? Leia asked. Emmeline shrugged.
I wasn't listening. I was envisioning a levitating muffin.
I think he said Okahunt. That name had figured heavily in her mother's so-called spaceport development accounts. It had to be linked to the rebellion plans. Was it possible Lenz had already betrayed them after all? The shipment to Okahunt could be bait, something for the Empire to follow and then discover whatever outpost awaited there.
You're cloud-colored again, Emmeline said.
I have to find out what's going on with that shipment to Okahunt. Leia gestured to what seemed to be the cargo vessel in question. Frantically, she tried to think of ways to investigate that she could somehow implement in the next few minutes. Maybe she could access the manifest. Her royal rank didn't give her the authority to pull a random ship's manifest, but it was possible a Pamarthan local wouldn't know that. In her reverie, she stared at the ground, or really at nothing. So it took her a moment to realize Emmeline was gone. Leia jerked her head upright, looking around wildly, then gaped as she saw Emmeline sneaking onto the vessel headed for Okahunt. She tiptoed up the boarding ramp, paused at the door, smiled back at Leia, and waved her forward. No, 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 Leia whispered. Stowing away wasn't the answer. Stowaways could be put off on remote planets, jailed, sometimes even indentured as servants. Come on. Even if any of that happened, you'd only have to get word to your parents. That's assuming they didn't find you first, because you know they'd search for you the instant you went missing. She tried to push the reckless thoughts away. If this shipment was intended as a kind of sting operation by the Empire, with the help of Winmi Lenz, then it would be at the heart of military action. In that case, she and Emmeline wouldn't be risking their freedom, but their lives. But when Leia tried to wave Emmeline back, she only got more cheerful beckoning before her friend disappeared into the cargo hold, no doubt looking for a better place to hide. Emmeline, who had no idea of the real danger ahead, was apparently determined to see this through. Leia couldn't let her go alone. Looking from side to side, she chose a moment both Ishi-Tib and Aqualish groups were hurrying by, chattering loudly among themselves. She wove through the crowd, made sure no one was watching, and ran for the gangway. Amelin had recklessly dragged them into the mess. It was Leia's responsibility to get them out. So she told herself. It helped her pretend that, down deep, she wasn't a little bit excited. Chapter 26. Chief Panji sounded incredulous, which under the circumstances was fair.
A family emergency?
Exactly, Leia said into her comlink, bracing herself against the wall of the storage bay as the cargo vessel's engines hummed to life. As the ship lifted off, she said,
I apologize for the sudden departure. Emmeline Holdo's coming with me, so I won't have to travel alone.
Well...
The chief clearly wanted to object, but a royal family emergency probably sounded important.
You check in once you reach Alderaan, got it?
Got it,
Leia promised. Assuming I return home ever again. Chief Panji signed off just in time, because the vibration that rippled through the ship meant acceleration. No doubt they were now soaring upward at a velocity that would take them out of communications range within seconds. Emmeline, meanwhile, had made herself comfortable, laying her waterproof mat on the floor and wrapping herself in a warm blanket. The blanket was designed to fend off harsh weather conditions, but would work on the chill of a cargo bay just as well.
Come on, she said, patting the floor next to her. You should make your nest. It's 6 hours to Okahunt, so we might as well get some sleep.
There's no way I'm going to be able to sleep. Leia sat by Emmeline anyway. There wasn't any point in pacing the whole time.
Why not?
Emmeline asked. Because I'm nervous and upset, and I don't know what's waiting for us when we get there.
Neither do I,
Emmeline said quietly.
I'm not afraid, because I'm never afraid of the things that scare other people, not even the unknown. But if I should be scared, well, you might as well tell me.
Regardless of how this played out, Emmeline would learn some of the truth. It would be better for her to hear most of it from Leia, as clearly and honestly as possible. Her parents' refusal to inform Leia had led to dangerous complications. If she refused to inform Emmeline in turn, what else could go wrong? Though it would be hard for even Emmeline Holdo to come up with something more ill-advised than stowing away on a traitor's ship headed toward an illegal military outpost. It's like this, Leia said, forcing herself to focus. Some individuals have decided that the worlds of this galaxy need a defense other than the Empire. A defense against the Empire.
An uprising!
Emmeline pronounced the word with relish.
About time!
Don't be so happy about it. Do you realize what that would mean? For us? For the whole galaxy? The smile fell from Emmeline's face, replaced by a solemnness Leia had never seen in her before.
Yes, I do. It's still time.
Once again, Leia's mind filled with images from Palkris Major, the ships all being refitted for battles to come, for bloodshed, for death. Emmeline continued.
A few weeks ago, you made me realize that intention alone isn't sufficient. Goodness is proved through action, rather than ideas. Since then, I've been thinking about what that means in the greatest sense, and I knew that meant standing against the Emperor.
Her solemn expression shifted into a smile.
I'm just really relieved I don't have to do it on my own.
I bet. Leia rubbed her temples with her fingers. Can you keep a secret?
You'd better hope so,
Emmeline replied with unnerving honesty. Not even Kier knew as much as Emmeline Holdo would have discovered by the end of this trip. Leia steeled herself to reveal all, then froze as the doors of the cargo bay slid open. She and Emmeline scooted hurriedly into a corner, hiding themselves as best they could behind some crates.
Someone will catch us,
said a giggling Quarren, who was allowing another to pull them deep into the hold.
No one's going to see.
The other Quarren stroked the first one's facial tentacles lasciviously. Is that one of their mating rituals? Leia thought, trying to look anywhere but at the groping couple arranging themselves atop one of the nearby containers.
Or is that just, I don't know, this one's fetish?
She had a disturbing feeling she was about to find out.
I suppose we may as well seize the moment,
the first Corin murmured. A hand with suction-tipped fingers went to the other's collar, and Leia heard snaps being pulled free.
Who knows when we'll get another chance to... Ah!
Leia winced as the Corin scrambled backward, staring at the two huddled stowaways they'd just glimpsed in the corner. She could only gape at them, even more horrified to have been discovered than they must be. Emmeline folded her hands over her heart.
I'm so happy you two have found each other.
Less happy to have been found was the person in charge at Okahont, who on that particular day turned out to be Mon Mothma. As she and Emmeline were hustled into the outpost's headquarters, Leia caught sight of the familiar red hair and white robe and breathed a sigh of relief.
Senator, I'm so glad to see you.
The feeling isn't mutual. Mon Mothma raised one eyebrow.
You brought a friend.
I stowed away, Emmeline said cheerfully. Technically, we both did, but it was my idea. So don't blame Leia.
Mon Mothma raised her hands as if to say, I need time to find the words. With a glance, she dismissed the two Quarrens, who'd considered Leia and Emmeline their prisoners, and didn't look too thrilled about having them treated as guests instead. Leia figured they'd get over it as soon as they got another chance to be alone. The outpost on Okahont had apparently been built longer ago than the makeshift shelters on Crate. Although the crew of the cargo vessel had made sure she couldn't get a good look at the total layout of the place, the differences revealed themselves. Substantial data centers ringed the room in which Mon Mothma stood, including a circular map display at the very center. The sheer length of the hallways she and Emmeline had been hustled through suggested a large compound, and any place that needed enormous cargo shipment of Quadanium. Well, however big this outpost was, it would soon be even bigger. Mon Mothma leaned against the map display for a few long seconds before saying,
Princess, you know that I've supported your playing a larger role in our endeavors. But this is going too far.
This was an accident, and a lucky one, Leia insisted. What do you know about Winmi Lenz's dealings with the Empire? There was every chance that Mon Mothma would say she knew all about it. It had occurred to Leia that Lenz might be setting up some sort of elaborate operation to sabotage Imperial works, maybe. When she saw the frown lines appear between the older woman's eyebrows, though, she knew better.
What do you mean, Leia? Of course Lenz arranged for us to receive this Quadanium.
He traded even more to the Empire, Leia said. We saw him conclude the deal with our own eyes. I didn't recognize the official, but he certainly had a high rank. And Lenz called him Director.
Emmeline chimed in then. The guy wore a white jacket. That's how bad.
Mon Mothma took a step backward. For most people, it would have been a very small reaction. But from the calm, collected Mon Mothma, it might as well have been a scream.
Force around us.
How did you discover this?
Our paths crossed on Pimarth.
Maybe it was a lucky accident.
Maybe it was the Force at work.
Although Leia believed in the Force, she rarely thought it directly guided actions. On this day, though, she was willing to consider the possibility.
Regardless, Lenz has connections high up in the Empire he hasn't revealed to the rest of you. And that can't be good news.
No, it can't.
Mon Mothma's long fingers tapped against the edge of the map display, as if she were working out a code.
We can't let him know we're onto him.
We simply have to phase him out. Make him believe we're fighting among ourselves, less certain of our plans. If he believes the Coalition is falling apart, getting nowhere, he'll let it lie. Reporting us at that point would only expose himself.
Can you make him believe that?
Leia had thought politics involved more lying than any other activity. Apparently rebellions put politics to shame.
He's never been at the center of our plans. There are limits to what he knows. So yes, I think he can be persuaded.
Mon Mothma shook her head as though to clear it.
Besides, we don't have to lie about the infighting, only about our lack of resolve to overcome it. That sounded ominous, but also like something Leia should take up with her parents instead, at some other time, preferably far in the future. So, Leia began, since this intel is highly confidential, you'll keep this whole trip a secret from my parents, right? With a gentle smile, Mon Mothma stepped toward Leia, put her hands on her shoulders and said, "Not a chance." Leia winced. From her chair, Emmeline murmured, "Ouch." "We're still working out exactly who's in charge of this great endeavor," Mon Mothma continued. "Maybe it will be me, but maybe not. All I know for certain is that your parents are in charge of their own household, of which you are still a member. That means you'll have to take this up with them." Before they'd parted ways for their separate transports home, Emmeline had tried to be encouraging. "You brought valuable intel," she insisted. "That's gotta count for something."
"Let's hope so."
It counted for nothing.
"We can't keep having this conversation, Leia."
Bail Organa paced the length of the library, his hands clasped behind his back.
"How many times do we have to beg you to let us handle this? To go enjoy your youth instead of rushing headlong into this?"
"I told you, I wasn't investigating Wimney Lenz. I just happened to find out what he was up to. After that, I had to do something, didn't I?"
"Something, yes," her father said. "Stowing away on a cargo vessel? No."
"I was going after Emmeline," Leia insisted. "And don't give me that whole if all your friends were jumping out windows on Coruscant, would you do it? Because this is different."
"She's right."
Bria spoke with unexpected calmness. Her sorrowful dark eyes met her husband's. Leia responded to the situation she was confronted with as best she could. "We can't ask for more than that."
"We can ask for her to stay out of harm's way, and if she won't, we can keep her out of it."
Bail stopped pacing and pointed downward, at the seldom-used lower areas of the palace.
"There used to be dungeons down there, you know."
This time her mother's voice was sharp.
"Bail!"
He held up one hand.
"You know I wasn't serious. Don't even joke about that."
Bria rose from her seat, the wide skirts of her green dress rustling around her. The constellation globes overhead caught the last rays of sunset light, which turned their stars red and gold.
"There's no hiding from what's coming. Not for anyone in this galaxy. We were fools to think we could ever hide our daughter from it and keep her safe. Safety was the first sacrifice we made when we decided to oppose Palpatine. It won't be the last."
"You can't mean this."
Bail took a step back from his wife. Leia had rarely seen them argue in earnest. The melodrama performed for Tarkin's benefit was the ugliest confrontation she'd ever witnessed between the two. The sick feeling in her stomach told her that might be about to change.
"Our daughter is only 16. We've told her too much already. Failed to discourage her. What would discouraging her accomplish? It would protect her a while longer."
Bail winced with a pain that must have been nearly physical.
"I would do almost anything to keep her safe for even one more day. Why won't you? Secrecy isn't keeping her safe."
Leia tried to jump in. "I've brought good information to you already. Isn't that worth something? Don't you trust me?" Her father turned to her with such pain in his eyes that she wished the words unsaid.
"I trust you with my life, but I don't trust the Empire with yours."
Bria persisted, as she always did when her mind was finally made up. "We could begin slowly, Bail. In secure conditions. When you lead the supply convoy to where we refurbish our ships in a few weeks, take her with you. We have more defenses there than anywhere else. She can look at what we've accomplished and start to understand." Leia had already seen the nascent fleet at Palkris Major, but this wasn't the time to bring that up. If, in fact, that time existed. She bit her lower lip and tried to look innocent. Her father wasn't even paying attention.
"I won't have this. I won't treat our daughter as a skifter in a sabacc deck. If you would, I'm not sure I've ever even known you."
Bria closed her eyes, and Bale breathed out sharply, as though he were the one who had been spoken to so hurtfully. Then he stalked out of the library, leaving mother and daughter alone. By now, Leia felt so wretched she could hardly look at her mother's pain-stricken face. She whispered, "I'm so sorry I caused trouble."
"You didn't. You had a lucky break that may well have saved lives. Eventually, your father will see that."
Bria opened her eyes, which were red-rimmed, but her voice remained clear.
"Your father isn't himself right now. It's a hard thing, allowing your child to go to war."
Leia nodded, trying to remember the warmth and happiness between them not so long ago in this very room. The memory felt far away. "The rebellion has its own three challenges, I guess."
"What do you mean?"
Her mother sounded more eager for distraction than interested, but that was reason enough to go on. "Before it becomes what it's going to be, it has to be strong in mind, body, and heart. The challenge of the mind is getting everyone to agree. The challenge of the body is what you're doing on Crate and Okahant, making the idea of rising up something real.
And the challenge of the heart is moving forward without becoming what we have beheld."
Bria sighed.
"Well seen, my daughter."
Mother and daughter sat together on one of the low couches, and Leia hugged her mom tightly, unsure whether she was taking comfort or giving it. When her mother rested her head atop Leia's, she decided maybe it could be both.
"You have a role to play in the struggle to come, Leia. We'll figure out what that role should be over the next months and years. Your father will fight us for a while yet, and we have to respect his feelings enough to let him fight."
Bria's tone betrayed how difficult that would be for her, but her words to her daughter remained calm and steady.
"I ask only one thing. From now on, whenever you undertake something like this, even if you fall into it by happenstance, you come to me or to Mon Mothma about it immediately. The very first moment you can tell us, whether in person or via holo, you do so. That way we can make sure what you're doing is both as safe and as helpful as it can be."
"You didn't say to tell Dad."
"Not yet," Bria admitted. Never before had Leia's mother asked her to keep a secret from her father. She'd always thought that might be fun, but it wasn't.
Chapter 27. What do you do when you're a 16-year-old girl who knows her world is about to end? Leia felt as though she walked through the next several days in a trance. The palace, as familiar to her as any place ever could be, suddenly seemed too large, too dark. Its layout complicated and knotty as the braids 2V insisted on weaving into her charge's hair every single morning. Her father had left for Coruscant late on the night of that last terrible family argument. He'd made that trip regularly throughout her life, but this time his departure carried an ominous sense of division. Her mother, always so strong, graceful, and poised, wore her wrapper and nightgown in the private areas of the palace until very nearly lunchtime. And once, when 2V tried to cluck about it, Bria even snapped at the droid. Of course she apologized in the next breath, but Leia remained shocked all the same. "The trouble hasn't even started yet," she reminded herself one night at dinner, while she and Bria ate silently on the terrace, looking at Aldera instead of each other. "If everything's so screwed up and strange already, what will it be like when things really get bad?" Her mother's voice broke into her reverie.
"Aren't you supposed to return to Coruscant soon?"
"The apprentice legislature's next session isn't for a week yet."
Frowning, Bria said, "I thought I remembered something about you scheduling a transport several days back."
"There's a party tomorrow night," Leia admitted. "One of the formal balls they invite the Royal Academy grads to every year. The apprentice legislators usually attend too." The first smile in days appeared on Bria's face.
"Weren't you planning on going with Keir Dimaudi?"
Leia shrugged. "I thought I might ask him if he wouldn't rather come here instead. I could invite him to the palace, couldn't I?" She badly wanted to talk with him about some of what she'd learned. Maybe he couldn't yet know the truth about Palkris Major, but they could discuss the particulars about Winmi Lenz and his double dealing, and, more importantly, about whatever role people their age ought to play in the coming fight. That conversation was one they should have on their own planet, beneath their shared sky.
"You can always invite your friends to our home," Bria said.
"Which is why you should go to the ball tomorrow night on Coruscant. That will only ever happen once, while your home will always be here."
"It feels wrong," Leia finally admitted, as a servitor droid rolled up with the after-dinner calf.
"Going out to celebrate while out there..." She gestured at the darkening sky, through which a few brighter stars had begun to twinkle.
"Out there is exactly why you should go to the ball."
Leaning across the table, Bria took her daughter's hand in hers.
"We won't always be free to travel wherever we will. We won't always be able to take the time to attend elaborate parties. We won't always have the chance to dance with the ones we love."
The quaver in her voice made Leia's chest ache as she finished.
"So dance now."
Leia hadn't realized she could love her mother even more than she already did. She squeezed her mother's fingers tightly, and for a few long seconds they simply smiled at each other in the most perfect understanding they would ever share. It was Bria who broke the silence.
"And Tuvi will be so happy to pick out your gown."
"Overjoyed." The next night, Leia walked into the Imperial Palace on Kier's arm, wearing a white and silver gown that had fulfilled all Tuvi's wildest dreams. Her hair had been braided into a tall coil atop her head, and jewelry sparkled at her throat. Kier wore a dark blue suit of Alderaanian make, slightly out of step with the uniformed and stylish men around them, yet to her, far more handsome. When she heard the music, she longed to sweep Kier onto the dance floor. No. She longed to long for that, to fulfill her mother's command to dance while she could. Instead, the tumult inside her seemed to have intensified. Every time she looked at one of her friends, or at Kier, or at the happy throng celebrating with no idea what was to come, a pang pierced her heart. The emotion that ached within her wasn't fear. Instead, she felt the intense sadness that came from recognizing the beauty of her reality, while newly, sharply aware of how fragile it was. How quickly it would all vanish. Will everyone be so carefree 10 years from now? 5 years? 5 months? Leia couldn't yet tell how fast it was slipping away, but the stability of the existence she'd known was already beginning to give. As dedicated as she was to fighting Palpatine, as willing as she was to pay whatever price that fight would demand, she still found it hard to accept the fragility of everything and everyone she loved.
"Are you all right?"
Kier squeezed her hand, pressure that sent a small thrill through her, despite everything.
"You seem far from here."
She blinked hard, forcing herself back into the moment. "I guess I am. Could you get me a glass of the glow wine? That should help." Glow wine wasn't intoxicating, exactly, but it sparked a rush of endorphins that could turn the dull into the delightful. Younger people on Coruscant and many other worlds drank it regularly. Even some adults preferred it to true wine. Kier's lips brushed her cheek.
"As you command, Your Highness."
The way he said it, low and soft, did as much to distract her as the glow wine ever could. She let go of his arm with some reluctance, already missing his warmth by her side. Someone else found her almost immediately.
"Were you in awful trouble?"
Emmeline Holdo asked in the monotone Leia no longer thought of as being so odd.
"At least you could tell your parents what you were really doing. I had to pretend I honestly thought stowing away on a cargo vessel would be fun."
"Did they believe you?" Beaming, Emmeline nodded.
"They know how I get about my enthusiasms."
Leia imagined what toddler Emmeline must have been like, and couldn't suppress a smile. "No doubt."
"Your dress is beautiful."
Holding out her arms in a pose, Emmeline said,
"What do you think?"
It took most of Leia's royal training to keep that smile on her face.
Emmeline wore possibly the most Emmeline thing ever. A flowing caftan of a dress in a swirling, multicolored pattern that reminded Leia of the storms on gas giants. Tiny bells jingled at the ends of the wide bell sleeves, and metallic, sparkly fringe trimmed the hem and the high neck. Emmeline had even managed to dye her hair the same combination of colors as the dress, which made her look like a psychedelic blur, broken only by her smiling face. Leia ventured, "It's very bright. Very original and daring."
"Leia?"
Emmeline's face took on an unaccustomed seriousness.
"On Getalenta, we honor kindness and courtesy, but we also honor honesty."
True courtesy meant treating people the way they wished to be treated.
"Well, then, I think the dress is too busy. I can see why you like it, but for this gathering, it's a bit much." "I knew it."
When Emmeline slumped, she appeared even ganglier than usual, like a marionette when the puppeteer let go of the strings.
"On Getalenta, you get tired of everyone wearing the same scarlet cloaks, and everybody's clothing is pale gray or white, and it's supposed to be soothing and tranquil. I guess it is. But that's just not who I am."
"You're expressing your individuality," Leia said. And as she spoke, she found that somehow she'd gotten to like most of Emmeline's bizarre clothing. Maybe it was garish and strange, but the brilliant colors and constant variety reflected something of the person within.
"Exactly."
Emmeline picked forlornly at the fringe trim of her sleeve.
"I want to be the precise opposite of Getalenta."
Leia shook her head. "Don't do that. If you're only trying to be the opposite of a thing, you're still letting that thing define you."
"I never thought of it that way."
The insight was new to Leia, too, but she recognized the truth in it. Dress how you really want to dress. Be who you want to be. Not whatever they are on Getalenta or whatever they aren't. She brightened as Kier wove his way through the crowd back to them. He must have seen Emmeline standing by Leia's side, because he returned with 3 glasses of glow wine and, somewhat clumsily, managed to give Emmeline the first one.
"Good to see you."
"You too, Kier."
Emmeline promptly gulped the glow wine down with abandon. Maybe this was what happened when someone from Getalenta let loose. Now he could present Leia with her glass properly and clink his rim against hers. But then he took as deep a draft as Emmeline had. When Leia raised her eyebrows questioningly, he grinned.
"The sooner we finish this, the sooner we can dance."
"When you put it that way." She lifted the glow wine to her lips and went for it. Within minutes, her worries had vanished, as if the tension within her had been a balloon swelling tighter until it popped with a spray of glitter. Leia's courtly training meant she could swirl around the dance floor without even thinking, her feet and arms naturally finding the steps. The other dancers moved around them with fluid grace, everyone finding the patterns as if they were shards of color in a kaleidoscope being turned on the beat. Kier danced with nearly as much ease as she did. Twirling beneath his arm, she said,
"You're good at this."
"I am now."
His hands found her waist at that exact moment, and she helped him lift and spin her, a dizzying whirl that exhilarated her.
"After I spent most of the past month practicing with a beady droid."
Leia laughed so loudly that a few heads turned around them.
"You didn't."
"It was awful," Kier confessed. "Nothing like this."
The song drew to a close, and they finished the dance perfectly, with him pulling her to his side, arm around her waist. They'd been this close before, many times. But tonight everything felt sharper, realer, more urgent.
"Dance now."
Probably this wasn't exactly what her mother had meant, but...
"Let's get out of here," Leia said.
A slow smile spread across Kier's face, even as he said,
"Aren't we supposed to stay?"
They were. They ought to be dancing with the other apprentice legislators, and with the graduating academy cadets. But to hell with ought to. Leia pulled Kier closer and whispered, "I don't care." They ran out of the gathering together,
second glasses of glow wine in their hands, into the dazzling lights of Coruscant at night. At first, they dashed across the suspended walkways, happy to dodge the passers-by around them, to feel as if they were racing on thin air. Even the hollow projections of the Imperial symbol on huge screens all around them couldn't dull Leia's giddiness. When they found a hover-sled rental place, Kier steered them directly to it. Once he'd given the Rodian proprietor some credits, and taken the scan that proved they'd imbibed nothing stronger than glow wine, they were off, zooming through the air, wind rushing around them. Leia kept their course simple, partly to be safe, but also because it let her attention wander to the warmth of Kier's arms wrapped around her as he embraced her from behind.
"Hey!"
he called, pointing toward the senatorial complex.
"Let's head up there!"
Atop the complex, an elaborate garden had been planted for the enjoyment of senior members of the government. On Coruscant, the rich greenness of leaves was the ultimate luxury. On most nights, a number of people could be found there relaxing with family and friends. Tonight, however, the Senate was in late session, and the other apprentice legislators remained at the ball. So Leia was able to land in the very center, and they had the garden to themselves. Kier took her hand as he drew her away from the hover sled to walk on the soft ground. The Bellomi palm fronds swayed in the breezes, surrounding them so fully it was almost possible to believe they were on a planet's surface instead of high above it.
"No place is as beautiful as Alderaan," Kier said. "But this comes close."
She thought of his fierce wish to protect Alderaan against the coming conflict, the danger again intruding on her happiness.
"Hey."
He brought his fingers up beneath her chin, tilting her face toward his.
"Are you sure you're all right?"
"I am."
"Really?"
Kier knew her better than that.
"Are you worried about your mother?"
He'd been so concerned about the so-called family emergency that took her away from the challenge on Pimarth. She'd been forced to concoct a lie, which she hated. But this lie was intended to protect both Kier and her parents, so she stuck to it. "Everything's okay. Her pulmonodes really only needed a small repair. It scared us, that's all." The light filtering through the palms highlighted the sharp angles of his face, the depth of his dark eyes.
"Then what is it? Are you nervous about your challenges after what happened on Pimarth?"
His smile warmed her through.
"You'll make that ascent of Apenza. I'd be honored to climb it with you if you'd like."
The would-be heir could take a companion on the climb, and she could imagine nothing better than standing atop that mountain, declaring herself the next queen with Kier by her side.
"Yes, I'd like that." "But it's not what you're worried about."
Surely he deserved some small measure of the truth. How much could she parcel out and declare safe? Leia finally said, "Recently I traveled somewhere that made me realize that what my parents are planning, that it's inevitable." His expression clouded.
"Are they about to do something dangerous?"
No, not yet." She shook her head vehemently. All of this was dangerous, but Kier was asking whether action was imminent. That, at least, Leia felt sure she could deny. "I don't know how long it's going to be, though. I just don't know what's going to happen. Everything about our lives is about to change." He embraced her tightly. She rested her head against his chest, at the exact place where she could hear his heartbeat. They were so breakable, so mortal. The fight to come would overtake them, and there was nothing she could do to protect either of them.
"I know it has to change," Kier whispered. "The Empire can't stand. People can't live like this, and that means an uprising is inevitable. We have to prepare for it. We need it. But what's about to happen? Don't!"
She placed two of her fingers over his lips. "I shouldn't have said anything. I want to forget about it completely, just for tonight." Leia sank down onto the soft ground, relishing the coolness of grass beneath her palms. After a moment, Kier knelt beside her. When he hesitated still longer, she started to ask him what he was thinking. But then he reached out, fingers trembling, and removed one long pin from her hair. He held it between them, a silent question as to whether he should continue. Alderaan had any number of traditions about braids, about who wore them and when and why. The customs varied from continent to continent, age to age. But always, one of the most profoundly intimate acts was to allow someone else to take the braids down. After one deep, shaky breath, Leia turned, offering him the back of her head. Kier went slowly at first, figuring out how to proceed, but he gained confidence as he went. Each pin was carefully placed in a pile off to the side, so that they could keep only the slightest sliver of space between them. Every time their eyes met, the troubling world around them fell further away. Tuvi knew her work. Leia's hair didn't begin to tumble free until the very last braids were loosened. When at last it fell heavy and dark around her shoulders, Kier buried his hands in it, and she didn't have to think or worry anymore. Just close her eyes, kiss him, and let go. Chapter 28. Apprentice legislators rarely contented themselves with the experience itself. Kier's academic interest was the exception. Most apprentices hoped for political or imperial careers, and their time with the Senate served as a mere starting point. Therefore, attracting the attention of a senior official usually meant good news. A princess of Alderaan didn't need that kind of attention, and even if she had, Leia would have been horrified to receive the summons to meet with Grand Moff Tarkin. "What can he want?" Kier shook his head in consternation when she showed him the screen. They sat together in her family's apartments, watching one of the famously melodramatic holovids from Shilly. "It's not like we've seen him anywhere near the apprentice legislature since day one." "He's been to Alderaan, though." Leia remembered that terrible dinner party, the suspense that had hung over them all like a canopy of black. "Recently. I think he was trying to rattle my parents."
"You think he suspects something?"
Kier sat upright, almost as if he would leap to his feet in alarm. She remembered the sharpness of that initial fear.
"Why didn't you tell me?"
"It would only move you into the bullseye along with us." She curled into a ball on the sofa, hugging her knees to her chest. Their family apartments hadn't felt as empty since she began spending more time here with Kier. But Tarkin's message had made her father's absence freshly vivid. "I wish I could ask my dad about how to handle this."
"Could you call him?"
"Not where he's gone." Leia pulled herself together. "Not in time. The summons says this morning." When she rose from the sofa, smoothing the simple tunic she wore, Kier got to his feet beside her.
"Do you want me to come with you?"
"Tarkin's not going to allow that."
"I didn't mean into his office. Just to walk there with you, if it would help you stay calm."
His sweetness eased some of the tension within her. Not all of it, not even close, but enough for her to collect herself. Leia put her hands on either side of his face. "What would help me is knowing you'll be here when I get back."
"Then I'm staying right here."
Kier kissed her goodbye so thoroughly that the warmth of it buoyed her up during the entire journey through the labyrinthine set of lifts, skyways, and corridors that brought her to Tarkin's Coruscant offices. When she got there, however, and saw the imposing Imperial seal on the doors, the chill began to creep back in. But royal training could carry her through far more than ceremonial rituals at the court. Commanding and confident? No. That's not what the Grand Moff wants to see. Demure and innocent. That's better. Leia clasped her hands in front of her, lowered her chin slightly, and walked inside. Before the protocol droid had even finished introducing her, Tarkin had risen from his desk. Not even his polite smile could gentle his cadaverous face.
"Your Highness, how good of you to come."
It took every minute of every year of her training for her not to flinch when taking his outstretched hand. His fingers could have been fleshless bones.
"Thank you, Governor. I appreciate the honor, but I admit I was surprised to hear from you."
"Lower your eyes. Tighten the throat as though you were sad.
after how I behaved.
No, no, none of that. You were hardly responsible for that disgraceful scene.
His kindly pat on her shoulder didn't fool her. He was trying to discombobulate her under the guise of comforting her.
In fact, since that night, I've been concerned about you. I felt I should take some kind of action, were such required.
You, sir? Leia couldn't keep the incredulity out of her voice, but that was all right. He'd expected to catch her off guard, and would be pleased to have done so. He gestured toward the chair in front of his desk, and politely didn't sit until she had.
Yes. Forgive my interference, but it occurred to me that if the daughter of a queen and a viceroy had difficulties, there would be very few people to whom she could turn.
That's an extremely kind gesture. From another sort of person altogether, it might have been. Really, though, what happened that night, it's between my parents. I have to let them work it out in their own time. Tarkin nodded, and though he studied her avidly, she detected no suspicion. At least not yet.
That's a very mature attitude, allowing your elders to act as they see best.
Eyes downcast, she said. I know this is the right way to handle it, but I admit it's hard sometimes.
Did he hope to reduce her to tears again?
If that was what it took to end this interview, Leia was prepared to sob until he had medical droids wheel her out for observation.
Undoubtedly.
To her dismay, Tarkin gestured for a servitor droid to bring them tea, as he settled into his chair like a man prepared to talk at length.
But it's that kind of self-control that will make you a fine senator and an excellent queen. Your parents have quite a reputation, Your Highness, but I dare say you'll eclipse them when the time comes.
Why is he talking about this? She kept a tiny, uncertain smile on her face as she accepted her cup of tea. Tarkin kept on while the droid poured next to him.
Although the centralized governance of the Empire is what provides our stability and our strength, planetary leaders nonetheless play a critical role. The Emperor needs to know that monarchs, presidents, prime ministers, chieftains, and senators will support his rule, and monitor activities more closely than we can hope to from Coruscant.
Cooperate with us. Do as we say, and you keep your throne.
He wouldn't be having this conversation with her unless he thought she'd inherit that throne soon. Since her parents were still hardly even middle-aged, there was only one reason for Tarkin to think that. Her entire body tightened, her throat strangling her voice, her ears trying to shut out sound so she couldn't hear any more of this. Leia's heart beat wildly in her chest, and the impulse to dash out of the room was almost overwhelming. She simply sipped her tea before saying, so steadily it shocked her, "I realize how important that is to Emperor Palpatine."
"I believe you do. You're a good girl."
Tarkin smiled, obviously thinking her young and naive enough to be flattered by such condescension.
"While I commend your attitude toward allowing your parents some, distance, I want you to know that in the future, should you feel uncertain and require guidance, I shall be glad to give it."
"Be our puppet ruler, and I'll hold the strings." "Thank you, Governor. I appreciate that," she said, and then thought, on more levels than you can ever realize. Maybe some hint of emotion slipped out. Maybe he was simply too calculating a man not to apply one final test. She knew only that Tarkin cocked his head, studying her like a predator about to pounce, before he said, with courtly flourish,
"I see such attentions as an investment in our Empire's future. Someday, I hope, we will achieve perfect rule and perfect peace from here on Coruscant to the farthest systems of Lothal, Paukris, Ratatak, or whatever worlds we may yet find."
Paukris.